This evening will be led in prayer by Pastor Marvin Zirker from Chestnut Ridge Mennonite Church. Would you stand, please?
I would invite you to join me in prayer. Oh, Heavenly Father, I thank you for this beautiful evening. We would be amiss to not thank you for how beautiful of a day we've had, and so I do that tonight. Thank you for this city. Thank you for the opportunity to see people just walking the streets this evening, enjoying this night. Father, we know this is a critical time in our country, a lot of things happening, and even in this community. So I ask, God, for your protection over those who are leading, who have decisions to make, even this evening in this meeting. I ask your blessing on them. I pray for their families, and thank you for the opportunity we have just to live in this place. God, I ask for wisdom and discernment as discussion takes place. I pray for our mayor. Thank you for him. Thank you that he is attuned to wanting to serve you as well. So I pray that this would be a good evening. Thank you for all the guests who are here. And I pray this would be a blessing time for all of them. We ask God for your protection over this town. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
That's cute. That's cute.
Thank you, Pastor. Have roll call, please.
Shu?
Here.
Wilson?
Here.
Van?
Here.
Hampshire?
Present.
Asparis?
Here.
Korfman?
Here.
Larson?
Here.
Thank you. Everyone should have received a copy of the minutes of our April 4th meeting. Are there any additions or corrections to those minutes? Mr. Vance.
I move we adopt the minutes of the April 4th meeting.
Thank you. Second, Mr. Hampshire.
Wilson?
Yes.
Yes. Hampshire?
Yes.
Asparius?
Yes.
Corfman?
Yes.
Morrison?
Yes.
Shu?
Yes.
Thank you. This evening we have a special group here for a presentation, the Heartland Character Committee. Now, I'm not sure which part of the group gets to go first, but you guys are on. It's your turn.
I just want to thank City Council and the Mayor, first of all, from the Heartland Steering Committee for being such strong supporters of character education. We wanted to share with you just a little bit from the Orville Elementary, from Orville Middle School, and Orville High School, what happens throughout our buildings every day. Elementary?
Hi, my name is Mia Miller, and every month on the announcements, we do the word of the month, and we have a definition and an example for each word of the month.
Hi, my name is Jax. We do scripts, books, plays, and puppet shows for the younger kids.
Hi, my name is Grace, and we go into the preschool and do stuff for the younger students.
Hi, my name is Brittany Butzer, and we have a character board in the cafeteria where we have pictures and activities where what we do. And we have a poster board of an example and pictures of what we do.
Hello everyone, I'm Alice Thompson.
I'm Corinne Rice.
I'm Caitlin Rice.
And we are here on behalf of Orville Middle School Student Council.
OMS has done a variety of activities to incorporate character into our student body. We have done service projects that include a food drive, Socks for United Way, raising money for those families of Orville Middle School dealing with life-threatening illnesses. Our students care about Orville community, and the students want to do their part to show others that we care.
OMS staff and students want to continue to encourage each other to do their best in academic and athletic performances. We have Rider Rumbles and pep rallies to gain momentum going into events that will be recognized by the state of Ohio. During the statewide testing, Zionsopia, and other academic events, we recognize the students who are making the extra effort so that Orville Pride shine. Our motto is be prepared, persist, and perform while respecting others to show that we are right or strong.
Hi, I'm Justin Hare. I'm here on behalf of the Heartland Student Leaders High School, and we enjoy mentoring younger kids at the elementary school. We also participated in Character Education Week in the form of a rally to get the kids hyped up for Character Education Week. At that rally, the kids found out that during the week they received tickets whenever they showed good character. And the tickets were made by OHS Arts students that had the words of the month listed on them. And any student that received the ticket was put into a drawing. And at the end of the week, 62 students were selected to attend a character celebration led by 15 students from high school.
Thank you again for allowing us to come today and share what we do. The Mayor is a huge supporter of our character education program, and we just wanted to share with you what we do on a regular basis. So thank you for having us.
Thank you. Are you sure you want to leave? Exciting things coming up here. We will now move to our standing committee reports. Finance, Mr. Asparis.
Thank you, Mr. President. Thank you to the kids and students that came here tonight. We appreciate that. And as much as Butch wants to be up here forever, he's getting old, so we'll need leaders like that to replace us. That's all I have tonight.
That's what you have. This is Butch's replacement. Okay. We'll move to the utilities. Mr. Corfman.
Thank you, Mr. President. Utilities has no report.
Thank you. Health and Safety, Mr. Vance.
Thank you, Mr. President. The Health and Safety Committee hasn't had need to meet, so I have no report.
Thank you. Parks and Recreation, Mr. Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. President. No official report, but I did get a comment from a resident this week about potential additions to the dog park that would be welcome. So sharing that and maybe something we can meet on later and discuss.
Okay. Oh, let's see. Next up, transportation. Mr. Shute.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have no report tonight.
Thank you. Planning, Mr. Hampshire.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have no report, sir.
Thank you. Ordinance and personnel, Mr. Larson.
Thank you, Mr. President. No report tonight, but I'd also like to thank the kids and just remark that it was neat to hear this room filled with the Pledge of Allegiance rather than just our voices. That was really nice.
Thank you. We have no special committee reports. We'll move to administrative reports. Mayor Hanward.
Thank you, Mr. President. As several of our council members did, I'd like to thank the Character Education Committee for being here tonight, and in particular, Bev Wasman and Kelly Ryan and Dave Sobocall, who were here tonight with the kids along with some of the parents. That group does a really nice job all year long. I know that was very brief what they tried to explain tonight to everybody, but I think all of you understand the year-long process that goes along with that, so we're glad that they were here. First thing for me I have is the Employee of the Month is from the Wastewater Department. The Wastewater Employee of the Month is Craig Day. Craig is an Operator 1 at the plant, and Craig has been at the Wastewater Division since 2014. He graduated from Wayndale High School and the College of Worcester, where he was a member of the baseball team. He's got a good hard handshake. We had lunch last Friday, and boy, he really has a good hard handshake. So he must be from playing baseball, I guess. He was had prior experience in the wastewater field, and his energy is the envy of his supervisors, according to Bob Otten down there. Craig enjoys hunting in his free time and resides just outside Orville with his wife Brittany and their very spoiled dog Blue, and we did have lunch at Friday's. Or Fridays. We had lunch on Friday at Jerry's. Yeah, we're not driving to Fridays. City Hall renovation, I think most of you could see when you came in, it's pretty much finished. The painters are still doing some work down in the police department, I believe. And we would like to just thank, I know it was in the Orviews, but would like to thank Crystal Clean Power Wash and Paint for the painting that those guys did. They did a really nice job. Heath Hostetler from Furniture Tech did all the finish work on the railings. And, you know, a lot of people might not even notice that. You don't notice it until you realize how dirty those looked before. Because Mr. Wheeler and I were in a building last week that had really the same railings that have not been redone. And you looked at them and think, ooh, yeah, that's what ours looked like. So the big change with those. The drywall work was done by Canton Floors. And those guys, really, that was going to be probably the messiest part of the whole job because that's just the nature of drywall. But they came in and after the paper was taken off by Crystal Clean, and they re-skimmed all that drywall out there, really did a nice job. The finish work on that was excellent. And so that made it nice for the painters when they came back. And then the stone wall, of course, was by Dutch Country Stone. Those guys put the scaffolding up on Saturday morning, or their scaffolding people put that up, and they started Monday morning, and by Thursday late, they were done with that whole wall, which was pretty amazing. And then they spent Friday cleaning up, and we're out of here. So it really is all done except due to a very good idea from Doug Peppard, our custodian. He said, you know, what would really tie that all together would be that short little wall when you first come in the front door. Before you get to the first glass section. And Mr. Wheeler talked to the Dutch Country folks, and they said, well, we can't stay now and do that because we're heading to another job, but I think that's going to be arranged, and they're going to come back and do that. So that really will tie everything together, and I think that was a good idea. Lastly, I would like to acknowledge Chief Carroza tonight as he attends his final council member as police chief before retiring at the end of this month. Chief, we want to thank you for always being here at our meetings and allowing us to all to feel a little safer. And we can joke sometimes about that, but it doesn't take very long to read about stories of things that happen at council meetings or school board meetings and things like that. And I know it's been very nice just to know that we've had our police chief here with us for our meetings. We thank you for your serving our country and the Marines and serving this community as a longtime member of our police department and as our chief. And you are welcome back any Monday night that you choose as a concerned citizen next time. Just be gentle with us if you come back. And thank you. That's all I have.
Thank you. We'll now move to our safety service director. Mr. Wheeler.
Thank you, Mr. President. We issued a parade permit this week to the Bellisano Bike Ride. This is a bike ride that originates out of at Cleveland. It's 206 miles. And it will be traveling through Oroville on July 30th. Unfortunately, they're not staying the night, but they are traveling through. They do expect up to 150 cyclists. And the event is actually to support cancer research for the Cleveland Clinic. The ride will take place through Main Street, then through Market, over to Crown Hill, then over to Paradise Street into Worcester. Also, just a reminder, the compost center is now open. It opened Wednesday, April 6th. The operation days and hours of operation are Wednesdays, 7:30 a.m. to 11:15 a.m., 12:15 p.m. to 3:15 p.m., and we do have Saturday hours from 8 a.m. to noon. Items accepted include materials that will compost only, such as leaves, grass, branch, shrub trimmings, and trees, excluding stumps and roots. Also, believe it or not, annual Oroville Performing Arts Program has already been set. The first event is June 9th with the Shard and Polka, which folks have already asked me about when I was at the park the other day, so that's a highly anticipated band that's come will be first to show up this year. Jean Gall has done a fantastic job organizing that again. Last year she took under $4,000. Donations are currently being accepted, and I know the forms have been sent out to some of the various donors that have donated steadily for us in the past. Also, I too want to thank and congratulate Chief Carroza on his service and upcoming retirement. He's been an excellent chief to work with, and I wish him nothing but the best as he, I'm sure, heads south in the winter, so on his motorcycle, I'm sure. And that's my report for tonight.
Thank you. Yes, sir.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. Wheel, I've had three people tell me that they heard the parade is on Wednesday this year. I can't confirm or deny.
That is correct.
That's correct.
Okay. Yes. It is on a Wednesday. The fireworks is on a Sunday. Okay. Everything was pushed back a day because the 4th is on a Monday. And so everything was pushed back a day. I know Tuesdays are a traditional day, but in order to get the tournament in and get the fireworks on a Sunday night rather than on a weeknight, everything was pushed back.
So does the carnival start on Tuesday or Wednesday?
The carnival starts on Wednesday as well.
Okay. Thank you.
Anyone have any other questions? Thank you, Mr. Wheeler. We'll move to our utilities director, Mr. Redinger.
Thank you, Mr. President. I did last week in the AMP weekly update, there was a note in there that the last unit at our Melville Hydro facility came online. That entire facility is now in commercial operation. An update on our gas to gas conversion work. Dominion East Ohio Gas is starting on their infrastructure work. There will be two regulating stations that will be part of that gas conversion project at the power plant. One of those large regulating stations is installed inside the plant grounds, and the other one will be on the water department side of Middle and Spring Street. We're still scheduled for retrofitting that unit later on this September. Our second transmission line study is just about complete. We will have a report and a recommendation going to the utility board at its next meeting for review. Our long-term power supply and our electric rate studies are coming close to being completed. When we get those wrapped up, this will allow us to establish the plant cost going forward and help establish the rate structures we'll need to have in place in order to put those EPA measures into action. Last week, we did bid out the LED streetlights. If you recall, that was part of the EPA mandate. Those we'll be taking bids on those, I believe, the second week in May. And those will be installed over the course of the following year. I do have the utilities annual report later on in the agenda. A couple other notes. I did distribute our 2015 Orville Water Quality Report. That is now available on our website, and our customers can look at that at www.orutilities.com/water quality report. If you would like a hard copy, you can just call our office at 330-684-5130. It does have quite a bit of information on the source of our water, the quality of that water, as has been our history since we've been filling out these reports and doing these testing. We have had no violations on all the potential contaminants that are listed there. We were comfortably below the maximum concentration limits, and those are all established by the federal and state EPA. Under the miscellaneous department, the board will be talking at its next meeting about the possibility of a solar project offering by AMP. This project, from an economic perspective, is very attractive, partially due to the federal government's extension of the tax credit connected with that. So we'll be evaluating the value of that possibly being added to our portfolio. There is a site that we are looking at as a potential site in the second industrial park that may make a good location for that. Something else the board will be looking at, having some initial discussions on at the next board meeting, will be a home protection service program. You may have received some brochures from maybe Dominion, maybe First Energy, some other entities out there offering a water line, gas line, sewer line protection services. This is similar to that, although it's a little bit more comprehensive. It's being offered through AMP, through a third party, that if the board is interested, it'll be something that we will endorse, but it'll still be operated and owned by a third party. And it's currently the entity that supplies and does all of our natural gas aggregation work for us. It'll be an a la carte offering. You can choose one product or multiple of products. And basically, it is designed to kind of fill the gap that homeowners insurance doesn't cover. And we'll be learning a little bit more about that at the next board meeting, maybe a couple of them. If there's some interest at the board level, we will be bringing a formal presentation, and we'll probably try to do that at this council meeting so we can have that aired on the Armstrong channel. And again, we'll have a little bit more details at the next couple board meetings. And with that, that would conclude my report for tonight, sir. Thanks.
Thank you. Yes, sir.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. Frederick, I do have a question with the water quality report. I actually had a few people ask me in the last few weeks about lead in Warville's water. I assured them what you had mentioned probably about a month ago that we're in good shape. Am I reading this report right? The action limit is 15 parts per billion on lead.
That is correct.
And we tested at well below that 2.9.
That is correct.
Okay, and that was tested every 2 years?
Every 2 years, right.
So we're up this year?
We will do that testing again this year.
Okay. And then the 1 out of 20 samples found beyond that, can you elaborate on that?
Yes, there are, you know, we have an excess limitation. You know, there we'll go back and we'll do resampling on that one.
Okay.
But we have some that encroach on that limit.
Okay.
and on this particular run. It's not uncommon for us to have one or two samples that encroach on that limit. We'll go back and resample that again and make sure that the testing was done right. Double check the lab results on that.
Okay. Anyone else have any questions? Thank you, Mr. Brediger. We'll move to our finance director, Ms. Strumlin.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'd like to thank Council for quickly approving the legislation in March for the water utility note rollover. We did finalize the $400,000 note with the county on April 14th with an interest rate of 0.55%. It is our intention to pay off the note next year, so we hopefully will not be bringing back that rollover to you again. Also, we've begun the implementation of our new utility billing software. I did give each of you a copy of the implementation schedule prior to tonight's meeting, so you have it for future reference. Last week, we did have 4.5 days of training. Now we have until June 23rd to perform testing, and on June 24th, we will go live. We are very encouraged with what we've experienced so far, and we're actually looking forward to the go live and the efficiencies it will create. So we will keep you apprised as the implementation progresses. Also, prior to tonight's meeting, I did distribute the quarterly investment report. It does not require action by council, but I need the minutes to reflect that it was distributed. And lastly, I did distribute the fund balance report for the period ending March 31st. That does require a motion from council to approve the report subject to audit.
I'll make that motion.
Thank you, Mr. Spiros. Second, Mr. Corbin.
Vance?
Yes.
Hampshire?
Yes.
Spiros?
Yes.
Korthman?
Yes.
Larson?
Yes.
Shoup?
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes.
That's all I have. Thank you.
We'll now move to our law director, Mr. Kirkland.
Thank you, Mr. President. I actually do have something to say tonight. I just wanted to give you a little bit of an update on the Rails to Trails lawsuit that we have been a part of, kind of more of a back burner position for us. The parties have entered into a memorandum of understanding pending some final easements and locations of certain rights of way and things like that that need to happen as part of the trail. I don't have a timeline for that. I kind of reached out to both the attorneys for Rails to Trails and our own litigation attorney, and they didn't have that information for me. There's other governmental entities that are part of that decision. Ohio EPA, the Ohio Department of Natural Resources, among a few others. So they're getting final plans drawn, final approvals, final exact locations, and things like that. And so that's what is waiting for a final settlement. It's been pushed back into fall. They've had a series of telephone conferences, just kind of updating the court on where it is, and we expect that it will be, that the suit will be terminated once they get those final renderings and final approvals. So for our part, we've largely satisfied what obligations we have, and we're just kind of sitting back and waiting to get those final approvals and have this thing terminated. So it's been a while since we've talked about it, and I wanted to kind of give you a little bit of an update there.
Thank you. Any questions? Okay, for my report this evening, first off, I also want to thank Chief Carrozza. We've been glad that you've been around. You haven't had to arrest any of us while we were here, so that's a good thing. You are welcome back anytime you want to come back. You can come back without your uniform, without your gun, and sit in, make whatever comments you need to at the podium. Also, I want to thank the schools for their character committee. I have three grandchildren that are in Orville City Schools, and they take those character comments seriously. They come home, they'll come over to my house. I know they've got the things on their refrigerator at home, but my refrigerator, I have now 9 grandkids, and if you didn't know that there was a refrigerator under all that paper, you would never find the things that need cooled at our house. But thank you through that character education committee, it does a fantastic job. That's all I have for this evening. I think the mayor has one more comment.
Yes, I apologize. When I was going through the list of people that helped with the renovation out there, I forgot a very important one, really. Last Thursday or Friday, Letter Graphics came back with our directional or informational sign down there. And what a finishing touch that was. If you noticed that when you come in, they changed the color scheme on that and updated it. And they will be doing a few more updates in the lobby upstairs and downstairs area, just with some of those signs that need to be changed that aren't correct anymore. There's a few directional signs that aren't correct anymore. The restroom signs and so forth are on the doors now. They're actually legally supposed to be on the wall so they can be read by handicapped folks if they are looking for that. So they have to be replaced and put back where they're supposed to. And they're going to do the color scheme also that would match the blue color. So that'll still be coming, but I just wanted to mention them because they did a real nice job with our directional sign down there. And that's it. Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor. We have no old business scheduled for this evening. We will move to new business. Mr. Orson.
Resolution number 1216. I move this resolution be placed on first reading.
Second, Mr. Espiros.
Hampshire?
Yes.
Espiros?
Yes.
Corkman?
Yes.
Larson?
Yes.
Shue?
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes.
Vance?
Yes.
Resolution number 1216. A resolution authorizing the Board of Control to enter into an agreement and or agreements with the State of Ohio Purchasing Cooperative, Department of Administrative Services, to purchase one Kubota 5 Series 3-cylinder all-terrain vehicle, ATV, for the Fire Department of the City of Oroville, Ohio, or alternatively, to purchase said equipment from another vendor upon equivalent terms, conditions, and specifications, but at a lower price than it can be purchased through the state contract as allowed by Ohio Revised Code Section 125.04, and declaring an emergency.
Okay, Mr. Wheeler.
Thank you, Mr. President. As we discussed in the budget workshop, historically we have borrowed the ATV from Dalton and North Lawrence for special events, but that's getting the trail coming in here hopefully very soon. We feel like it's time to have our own so that we can respond to EMS calls appropriately and get deep in the woods if need be. This ATV in particular has an EMS bed that is attached to it so that it's appropriately equipped and we can respond appropriately in cases of an emergency out there. This has been budgeted for in our capital budget in the EMS funds, which are funds specifically for EMS type equipment, obviously. So we would ask for your approval. It can go three readings if you would prefer.
Yes, sir. I'm sorry. Did you say we were going to fund this through the EMS fund?
EMS fund.
The total purchase of it?
Total purchase. It absolutely all applies to the EMS fund.
Okay. Because this is one of the pieces of equipment that we can run through that fund because it's just specialized for EMS purposes.
Because solely
only, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
And I guess I didn't mention Chief Valentine is here if you have any specific questions that I don't automatically know the answer to. So.
Will this be used for anything else other than EMS?
No, it's strictly because of the EMS bed. That's all we can for you. I have a cot on the back of it, so our stove's basket for us.
And
we had one call one year during the 4th. We actually transported a lady right after the last show. The fireworks went off. She went into labor, and we transported her from Howard Street down behind Dairy Queen to the hospital on the back of Marshville's Polaris because we couldn't get an ambulance down the street.
And I think that shows you how good our fireworks are.
You obviously made it all the way there. You were bumping and jumping and everything else.
It just ran phenomenal.
So with the 4th of July, with the Rib Fest, we borrowed one and we put it at the station the whole week of the Rib Fest, and that's gotten bigger every year. We have used the one we borrow into the Rib Fest because we couldn't get an ambulance down into that area on a Saturday night when all the people were. We could, but it'd take a while to get in there. You know, I mean, they'll make it open for us, but it's so much easier just to run an ATV in there and load them up and bring them back to the street where we have an ambulance sitting and take them from there.
And do you know where you're going to store this unit?
What's What's that?
Do you know where you're going to store the unit?
I got it at Station 2.
At Station 2?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Mr. Vance.
So just normal safety patrols, or if there's a need for police department services on the trail, how will that be?
The police department actually does have I guess it's a four-wheeler that we have, and we've had it since before I got here, but...
Had it for years.
Yeah, had it for years, yeah.
Okay.
Lord willing, we will never need either one, but it's good to have.
Anyone else?
I move the rules, regulations, and statutes requiring the reading of a resolution on three separate days be suspended.
Second, Mr. Hampshire.
Asparis?
Yes.
Horstman?
Yes.
Larson?
Yes.
Shu?
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes.
Vance?
Yes.
Hampshire?
Yes.
I move resolution number 1216 be adopted as read.
Second, Mr. Horstman.
Horstman?
Yes.
Larson?
Yes.
Shu?
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes.
Vance?
Yes.
Hampshire?
Yes.
Asparis?
Yes.
Resolution number 1316. I move this resolution be placed on first reading.
Second, Mr. Wilson.
Larson?
Yes.
Shu?
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes.
Vance?
Yes.
Hampshire?
Yes.
Asparis?
Yes.
Horstman?
Yes.
Resolution number 1316. A resolution authorizing the Board of Control to enter into a contract and or contracts with the Wayne County Commissioners to provide supplemental funding for the Fair Street resurfacing project in the city of Oroville, Ohio, and declaring an emergency.
Mr. Wheeler.
Thank you, Mr. President. This is what our share of the CDBG grant is this year. The money provided by Wayne County as part of the CDBG monies is $50,000. Our share is $33,000, which is what is budgeted in the capital fund to do Fair Street. Fair Street is right now chip and seal, so this will be completely new asphalt overlay on this street. This also is a highly used area during festivities down in the park and stuff, so it's a logical area to do. I think it's also, and I hate to use the word test run just because it sounds like it's an experiment, it's also a good test run area in regards to some areas that are chip and sealed without curb that just to see how it'll hold up. So this is a good test area, and I know those that don't have curb that have chip and seal roads will be interested to see how it goes.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, Fair Street runs across from the main baseball diamond from High Street to Market Street, correct? Two blocks
yes,
long.
That's correct. And this project's the whole pole section.
Both blocks.
Yes, sir.
That's a good choice. I think that street's needed this for quite some time.
Yes, sir. And we had the street superintendent, John Scott, go out and look and see what streets were logical, and that was the one that he picked, not only from a location but a condition standpoint.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Anyway, Mr. Vance.
I'm just curious. This is such good news to me.
I see the excitement.
Well, I think it is important because it helps to protect the investment that homeowners are making.
Absolutely. And it's a logical win. I do have some experience doing some of these in regards, so I've seen some of the pros and cons, and so hopefully with the engineering, it's engineered in a way that'll prove durable for us. And the tricky part with that is a lot of the areas used for parking similar to what's on Mill and some of these other chip and seal streets. So that really to me is the toughest area to hold up in regards to, you know, without there being any curb, there being some issues with how they're parking and things. But I do think that we have a good plan in place, so it should hold up for us.
One second question.
Yes, sir.
Did you say that, what's the total project cost?
$83,000.
And we're paying $33,000?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Anyone else have any questions or comments?
I move the rules, regulations, and statutes requiring the reading of a resolution on three separate days be suspended.
Second, Mr. Asparis.
Shu?
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes.
Vance?
Yes.
Hampshire?
Yes.
Spiros?
Yes.
Horkman?
Yes.
Larson?
Yes.
I move resolution number 1316 be adopted as written.
Second, Mr. Corkman.
Wilson?
Yes.
Vance?
Yes.
Hampshire?
Yes.
Spiros?
Yes.
Horkman?
Yes.
Larson?
Yes.
Shoup?
Yes.
That completes our new business for this evening. We'll now move to Mr. Brediger's exciting report from Orville Utilities.
Have you seen something new happen?
Yeah.
I've heard rumors.
Kids are gone.
Your hands are sweaty.
I was just glad there was no link.
Yeah, I
would
do that.
Andy,
what do
you
want?
It was your idea. I give John Scott the credit on the location, but yeah.
Did you threaten him with reductions in his budget?
I didn't see it though. Did you get a copy of Jeff's report?
No.
I don't think you circulated it.
I had a session software.
Oh, yeah.
I'd love to be able to integrate it into the polls.
I think you can. It's just going to be getting it set up initially.
I've done inventory stuff. I'm not worried about that. That's something I can dabble in, you know.
Yeah.
I mean,
actually, I think it's going to be kind of interesting.
Well, I mean, I hate to say it because it sounds weird, but we're sort of excited. You know what I mean?
I think it'll be cool.
It'll just be sort of fun. Mm-hmm. Plus, if it really works, then you can give each other high fives at the end.
I don't see any reason why you can't use it for the pool, too, and you funnel all the cash.
The only issue is how the IBM IV part.
Yeah, but they're not doing it now.
I agree, but it needs done, just because I feel like we're not getting one accurate numbers and two
accurate. I'd be curious to see how much it is. If the schools are using it.
The school's got it. You know the answer.
That's what I would do. And then watch those revenues go up and up.
Right.
So why does it take the bank so long?
I don't know. It was apparently on somebody's desk.
Oh, jeez.
I guess I was called three times. John was the seller called.
Okay, we'll go ahead and get started. My name is Jeff Rediger. I'm the Director of Utilities for the City of Orrville, and I'd like to present tonight our 2015 annual report. So I have a number of slides that I'll go through here. If I'm moving a little bit too fast, feel free to stop me if you have any questions along the way. Also, please stop me. Some of these slides we've seen some from prior year's reports, but we did want to acknowledge the Public Utility Board, our five board members. Don McFarland from Moog is our president. Gary Gossard, representing Beckert, is our vice president. And Russell Miller from James Smucker Company, Brad Strasbaugh from Orrville City Schools, and our most recent board member, Michelle Abel, just joined us less than a year ago. We do meet the second and fourth Mondays, 6:30 in City Hall. Just a couple highlights, and we'll talk about more of these in more detail throughout the presentation. Our utility expenditures for 2015 were just a little bit over $56 million. As you're aware, we did reach settlement with the federal EPA on the alleged Clean Air Act violations. We'll briefly touch on those again. We did award a $450,000 contract to Forney Burners. These are for the new coal to gas burners that will be installed on Boiler 13 later on this fall. We completed $800,000 worth of capital upgrades to the wastewater treatment plant. And back in the electric department, we had three of our four hydro projects come online, and we'll talk about those a little bit more. Just an aerial view of the water plant. A little bit of background on the water plant. They've obviously been around for a while. We treat about 2 million gallons of waste a year. This gives you a rough indication on where our sources of flow come from, and next slide gives you an idea of where the sources of revenues come from. And these two pie charts really don't change too much from year to year. This chart shows where our rates are relative to the average rates in the state of Ohio. We are not comfortably below, but we are below the state average. State average is pushing about $560 a month. This is the beginning and this is the end. I believe I did drink some of this water last time that Cheryl still can't believe. our discharge points are similar to what they have been there. A bulk of it does flow to the Little Chippewa Creek. We do recycle, reuse a lot of the water at the power plant, and the balance of the solids does get collected and is land applied at area farms. In addition to that that crystal clear water that you saw on the slide before that, we're still running that through fish tanks. The fish are very sensitive, and we even have other aquatic bugs and that stuff that also are part of that that final quality assurance test there. So in addition to all of our sophisticated lab work, we're still testing that with the good old Mother Nature stuff. Our water utility, this is the oldest utility. We treat in the neighborhood of around 2 million gallons a day, similar to about the same amount that we treat from the waste side. Its operating budget is traditionally roughly about $3.6 million a year. You can see we have a number of storage tanks. Most of them are the most familiar blue tanks that you see in our two water towers and our one downtown, but we do also have two large underground tanks, and we have enough capacity that in event we would have something catastrophic happen, all of our wells would no longer be pumping, we could meet our water needs for about 3 days. Not a great amount of time, but we do have a lot of reserves out there. This is where the water utility rates are relative to the state. We're a little bit lower on average compared to the state. The state average is a little bit over $610 a month, and ours, as you can see there, is about $70 less than that. And we've been pretty consistent with that. This is where we see a bulk of our sales at. A good portion of them are kind of equally spread between the residential and our industrial and the commercial. And the power plant, what it does use in reclaimed water from the wastewater treatment plant does use treated water from the water plant. And last year that accounted for about 17%. That has been as high as 25% of the water utilities revenues in most recent years. And we've been working on a number of different programs to reduce the amount of water that we require from that plant, and that kind of helps bring a little bit more stability into the rates as we get into a time where our water usage at the power plant is going to be decreasing significantly. We'll move to the electric utility. It'll be coming up on its 100th anniversary next year. As you're aware, we do have three units, generating units located at the plant. Our operating budget's just a little over $34 million. We spent about $1 million on capital projects last year. We sold about a little bit over 1.5% higher retail sales last year compared to the previous year. Our retail sales, wholesale sales are similar to prior years. Our wholesale sales this year are down a little bit. That's mainly due to the wholesale power market is greatly depressed, which is a good thing for our customers. Bad thing for us when it comes to our plant competing against some of the lower wholesale prices that we've been seeing, mainly due to the result of the lower natural gas prices. Our power plant staff is down several people from last year. This just gives you a picture on how our retail sales, how closely they track to our industrial sales. You'll see there's pretty much a one-on-one correlation when our industrial customers are having a good year. We're seeing that in corresponding retail sales. You'll see some of the dips from some plant closings that we've had in the past. The gray bars are demarked recessionary periods. You can see some of the impacts they've had on us, and you can see the recovery that our businesses and industries have been able to achieve despite all of that. This is a breakout of where those retail sales go. Roughly a quarter each are spread between our residential and commercial. Our industrial make up the bigger part of that pie. Quality Castings makes up about half of that remaining half, so obviously one of our better customers that we have. This chart just kind of gives you a little bit more detailed breakdown on our top 10, 11 customers. You can see where our largest customer stacks up against the Jam Smucker, Quality Casting, and then the rest kind of level out from there. Wanted to touch a little bit and go back a couple steps and talk about the EPA settlement that we negotiated last September. I remind council and reminded our board that this was the shopping options that we had, with heavy emphasis on number one. It took us several years to get the agency off the position that shut down wasn't an option that we were interested in pursuing. Converting to natural gas was our second choice, and then if we chose to remain burning coal, we were looking at dealing with installing bag houses, carbon injection systems to deal with mercury, and scrubbers to deal with some of the acid gases. We reviewed 33 technology vendors. We evaluated 16 fuel alternative options. We reduced all those options to 8. We explored in greater detail 5 options on coal, 2 on gas, including shutting down the plant altogether. We included a detailed matrix of risk and economic criteria. Our coal options on the high end are ranged anywhere from 15 to 48 million. Quite a bit of money from a capital investment period. A lot of risk involved in that, mainly due to the fact that regulations keep on continuing coming out of Washington. Our gas conversion option was around 2 million. All these options put our reliability at risk. All those options required us to pursue a second high voltage transmission line to make sure that we did not risk interruption to our customers going forward. Our settlement, if you recall, had to have 3 components. One of those included some very drastic reductions in SO2 and nitrous oxide emissions. And we mainly got that through converting the largest generator from coal to natural gas and by reducing the operations of the other 3 units to 10% of their capacity. There was also an environmental mitigation piece. The EPA, after a number of different failed attempts, agreed to allow us to convert all of our street lights over to LEDs. Mentioned this evening that those bid packages are out. and we paid a $25,000 civil penalty. This shows you the magnitude of these reductions that will be in place come January 31st, 2017. 81% reduction in sulfur dioxide emissions, 76% reduction in our nitrous oxide emissions. This is a sketch of the natural gas burners that will be going in. This is the inside view. You'll see the burners are actually a series of multiple burners. That helps cut down on the formation of nitrous oxides and helps burn the gas more efficiently. This is not the best view, but this is a field view of one of those burners in installed in the unit similar to what will be going on at the power plant later on this fall. Going forward, we get a lot of questions from the staff and a lot of people since it's been out is what's going on after this. You know, our goal has always been to hold on to generation. It does have a lot of value, especially when it comes to offsetting transmission and capacity charges. Last year, even if that plant operated during the peak transmission peaks, we were credited with a little bit over $5 million. Lower natural gas prices are certainly putting that that conversion project more into money, making it more economical. We still have retained the capability of generating 100% of all the energy needs that we need for our community. But as part of our longer-term strategy, we're still looking at new generation just to fill the gap from the standpoint that a lot of our baseload generation will be taken out of play as a result of the changes in 2017. 2015, here's where the United States sat in generation. You can still see that coal still occupies a large portion. 4 or 5 years ago, that was closer to 50%. Natural gas has certainly picked up a little bit. Nuclear has kind of remained the same, but we've been seeing some increases from a national perspective in some renewables and hydro. Here's where Ohio was at. Certainly, in the middle of coal country, it's known as state that coal is still a primary fuel source, but natural gas has been displacing quite a bit of coal in Ohio over the recent years. Here's where we were up until 2012. Most of our energy, if not all the energy, was coming from the power plant. When we weren't generating, we were buying that energy from the market. Here's where we are in 2015. Less than half the energy we generated to serve our customers came from the power plant, roughly a third from our Fremont natural gas plant, 16% from market purchases, 9% from the state-of-the-art coal plant, our Prairie State project, and a small amounts from our Blue Creek wind project and the NYPA hydro allocation. In 2016, it's going to look a little bit different. We're going to be operating the plant a little bit less this year. That's due to we're transitioning into meeting new emission caps set by the EPA. We have to have those radical reductions that we saw on the slide before that in place by 2017, but we have to step down in 2016 in order to hit those. So as a result of that, we'll be operating the plant less, and we'll be increasing some purchases from the wholesale market. Plus our hydroelectric plants are coming on board, so those will be occupying a larger percentage of generation for our customers. This just gives you an idea of how much the plant operated relative to where our load was at. So this was the amount of megawatt hours we needed on a monthly basis to serve all of our customers. And this is just a percentage of how much of that energy was provided by the power plant. The gap in the middle was filled by our projects that we have through AMP and purchases out on the market. This just gives you an idea of where our various costs are for the various resources we have. you'll see our hydro projects coming on board. They are the most expensive projects that we have from a cost per megawatt hour basis. They'll be making up 18% of our energy going forward. You'll see where the plant stacks up, and you'll see where some of our other assets are. But Fremont and the gas plant being the lowest. Last year, the energy prices were up closer to where Prairie State were, but again, natural gas has brought some great economics to us. I mentioned the fact that the plant has some value even when it's not generated, and that's pretty much shown in this pie chart here. All of our projects, our wind project, Prairie State, Fremont, the hydros, in total, we paid roughly $9.5 million for the energy coming from there. The transportation, this is just the wires, the fees that we had to pay the transmission system operator, was a little bit over $4 million. Now, I can tell you that 6 or 7 years ago, that number was about $200,000. Our transmission cost every year, and that's not just unique to Oroville, but all of anybody that is dependent on purchasing their energy from the wholesale market, the transmission costs in this country have been they're a little bit out of control. This is that credit. So if we would have been paying for all the energy that we needed from the project, less the energy from the plant, we would have been paying a little bit south of $15 million. But by the plant operating during those peak times, shaving those high transmission periods, we actually get a credit from the transmission operator in the neighborhood of $5 million. And that credit has been increasing each year. So that was one of the drivers that we looked at as far as trying to value and discuss what position we wanted to take with the power plant going forward. Want to talk a little bit about our long-term power supply projects that we've talked about already. The first ones are our hydro projects. We have four of them currently under construction. The Campbellton facility, we have two of the three units that are in service. The last one will come in service this May. I mentioned tonight the last unit at Melville came in service last week. The two units at Will Island are in service. Smithland is still under construction. We expect that to start up later on this October. When Melville came online, part of the Phase 2 hydro project included partial ownership of an existing hydro facility that the city of Hamilton owns. And the members that participated in that project now have roughly a 49% share of an existing hydro facility. And that hydro facility is actually the cheapest of the hydro units that we have. This is just some pre-watering up pictures of the Willow Island. This would be the inlet. These are the existing locks and dams off on the right. This is how that facility looks today. This is the hydro facility. This is the current Willow Island dam. And this is the lock system here. So the two units, the water is flowing up the page. This is the Campbellton facility before we watered up. This is how that facility is looking today. There are three units in there. Again, the locks on the right, or the dam on the right, and the locks on the furthest right. This is the Melville facility, a little better overview of the hydro facility. Again, the dam system and the locks. This is the plant that just went fully commercial last week. A little bit more of a close-up of that facility. This is how that facility looks today. just a little bit different view. The Prairie State Project, if you recall, is a state-of-the-art coal plant that went into commercial operation in 2012. We have about a 5-megawatt share from that. I failed to mention that we have about 11.5 megawatts of energy coming from all four of our hydro plants when the Smithland facility comes online this October. With this generating facility is located out in Illinois. There are two 800 megawatt units, and it's actually owned by 7 joint action agencies. And our state association, AMP, is a majority owner. We own about 25% of this facility. Also, if you recall, this facility is sitting on 700 acres, and it has its own coal reserves underneath it. We have coal reserves to last about 30 years. So there is a 10-foot seam of coal about 200 feet underground that also came as part of the purchase of this this generating facility. And since we've started up, the performance and the operation of this plant has improved quite a bit. Still have a little bit more work to go, but it had a great year in 2015. The Fremont project was a, if you recall, this was a plant that we purchased as a group of AMP members from First Energy back in 2012. This is a state-of-the-art, it's called a combined cycle natural gas plant. It's one of the most cleanest, efficient natural gas plants that are being built today. And it's, right now, it is our lowest cost generation resource that we have. We have about 24 megawatts coming from this this facility. The Blue Creek Wind Project, this is a, there are 150 of these wind units located down in Paulding County. You're traveling west on State Route 30 just before you get to the Indiana border, you'll see these wind units popping up like daisies. We have just 2 megawatts of energy coming from these wind units. Last year, they produced energy just a little bit more than 18% of the time. So when they're running, they generate very inexpensive electricity. The bad news is they're not running 80% of the time. Looking forward, a number of things that the board is reviewing are new gas-fired plants. We mentioned the fact that AMP is looking at rolling out another solar project. Their first solar project is located up in Napoleon, Ohio. We're looking at maybe some high-efficiency gas engines. And there are other developers that are looking to sell additional energy from other wind farms in Ohio and also Pennsylvania that we'll be looking at over in the upcoming years. Wanted to shift a little gears and talk a little global perspective. You know, there's a lot of talk on the impacts of natural gas and the fact that going forward, we'll be burning a lot more natural gas in our facility. So I wanted to give you some idea on what's been going on with natural gas prices since 2011. You can see you know where we started off at. Several years ago, we were in the $4.50 to $5 range, and now we're down in this $2.50 range. This just gives you an idea. Also, this is natural gas on top, and these are coal prices. And for the first time, just in the past year, the cost from an energy basis that we measure the amount of energy that's in coal or natural gas or any other fuel. For the first time since anybody really can remember, the cost of natural gas is below the cost of coal. Our coal prices right now are at $2.52. Natural gas is just slightly above that. That's all good news for us as we look at transitioning from coal to natural gas in 2017. This is just another graph that just kind of shows you how the natural gas cost and the cost of coal have been converging together over the past several years. this gap has always been, we've always seen these departures comfortably for decades prior to this. This just gives you some gas prices upcoming for the next 3 years. Each one of these bars are quarters of a year. Again, here's where our coal costs are currently at right now. We're in the process of negotiating contracts for the balance of 2016 to 2017, but you can kind of see where the forward prices are for the next couple years, where we should be seeing prices that are pretty close to where we're, what we're paying right now for coal, which puts that plant in very good economic position relative to where we were 3 or 4 years ago when natural gas was two or three times this price. This just gives you a little historical background. It looks a little bit busy, but it does have a little history to it. This is the wholesale energy prices since the year 2000. And if you recall, we started having discussions on the future of the plant and how we were going to look long to supply our customers for the next century. And are we going to do that with a plan? Are we going to look at getting involved in some of these joint projects? And it was during this period where these prices were just starting to go through the roof that we started entering into the projects for Prairie State. We started looking at Fremont. We started looking at Hydros. Because these prices were, at that time, you know, Orville's cost were down in the low 20 range back in the early 2000s. Today we're just shade under 40, but you know, we got all the way up here, and then the bottom dropped out of the economy. We started seeing some influence in natural gas, and you can kind of see where energy prices are currently at today. So again, good news for our customers, good news for our natural gas plant, but it does put the power plant in a little bit of an economic a disadvantage for the time being. This just gives a little bit longer view on where those prices are expected to head the rest of this year going into 2019. You'll see that they're still kind of continuing down in 16 and 17, and they jump back up in 2017. And this is mainly due to the fact that a large number of coal plants are retiring during this period. And there is not enough investment being made on the transmission grid system, so there's going to be some vulnerabilities and some risk and corresponding higher cost for a couple of periods until they kind of get caught up. And then it's predicted with the continued development of the shale gas in this region that these prices are still going to continue to decrease over the next the next several years. And that's going to work out to our advantage, because we will probably be looking at entering into some wholesale power contracts and not maybe look at investing in larger generation assets in the short term. This just gives you an idea on how much it costs to bring the various technologies to the market. Our combined cycle plant, our Fremont plant, is operating in this bar. These are a cost per $1,000 per kilowatt hour. The more advanced energy resources that are being looked at is wave hydro, for example. Some concentrated solar with storage batteries, technology that's still out on the bleeding edge, but also has some bleeding pocketbooks to go along with it. This just kind of gives you a good gamut of what's out there today, how much it costs. All of them have different pros and cons on why they cost, what they cost. There's some are greener than others, some have other risks, but you can get a general idea on how the different technologies stack up, and it kind of complicates why the energy resources in our country are so diverse. This is just gives you an idea of what's under construction today. bulk of those being natural gas. There's a couple nuclear plants being constructed, some wind and solar. Over the next couple of years, you can see what's being taken off the books, mainly driven out from a regulatory perspective. Coal is the biggest hit, and we're part of that delicious slice of orange pie there. This is what's retiring through the year 2020. Again, quite a bit of coal is dropping off the map, some more natural gas. We're losing some nuclear. This is what's currently pending EPA permits. Again, natural gas, wind, and solar are the biggest drivers going forward. This gives you an idea of what's a similar view of where the new generation is coming from in the next couple of years. Going out to 2040, you see coal is remaining kind of stable. It's not dropping off. We haven't found enough replacement to fill in those baseload needs. Nuclear is not being developed anymore. That is a very solid baseload resource. Renewables, they have their place, but they have limitations. The sun's not shining all the time. Wind's not blowing all the time. The biggest expansion that you see in here is in the area of natural gas. No surprise. This is just a detail of where, a little bit more specific on where that new generation is, and most of it's this orange natural gas generation. Flipping back to the utilities, wanted to focus a little bit. Our annual report will be out on the website shortly, but I did want to highlight a few items on here. You see from the electric utilities perspective that we've seen reductions in just about most of the line items. Our revenues have stayed pretty constant with the anomaly of 2014. This was the impact of the polar vortex. We sold a lot of energy out into the market, if you recall on that. That helped us stabilize, actually reduced our rates in 2014. We paid for an unexpected turbine overhaul in cash in 2014 out of the proceeds of that polar vortex. Our expenses have been decreasing. I mentioned earlier that our sales were up about 1.5%. Our payroll has been decreasing. We have not been replacing positions. We've combined several positions. We have more work to do in that area. You will see that our fund balances are increasing. That's by no accident. We've been building those reserves in anticipation of these pending capital expenditures coming up. We should not have to go out and borrow very much money related to these EPA mandates. We're not done working through that, but we're in good position. We have a decent amount of money in the bank for that. Water utilities, you'll see that their revenues over the past couple of years have been relatively flat. Rates are very, very stable there. We are looking at the rates. We need to support some other upcoming capital projects. We do have the water main on High Street to replace in the next year or so. That's about $1 million plus project. We don't have the reserves that we would like to have to do that, so we'll be looking at rate structures on those. As Grim was mentioned, also in the last ordinance, that we'll be paying off the water note next year. And when we do that, all three of our utilities will be debt-free. Wastewater, a similar story to what we saw from the electric. Revenues have been pretty flat. 2015 was just a little bit higher. We had a couple of industries that were in the penalty box with us for a while. In general, our total payroll is down 3% from last year. Our spending was down a couple percent from last year. Our receipts were down about 3.5% from last year, and that's mainly due to our lower wholesale sales. Wrapping things up, upcoming challenges. We're going to be focused on our workforce. We have some more reorganization to do. We have several jobs that are going to be redesigned. We're going to be coming back to City Council and talk about job descriptions for many positions, not only in the utility, but there may be some on the city side, our aging workforce. All of your department heads are eligible to retire. So we're addressing that. Certainly the EPA hasn't gone away, and we don't expect them to go away regardless of what happens this election period. We talked a little bit about increasing transmission costs. These are costs that we don't have any real control over, other than we can reduce the impact of those by generating behind the meter. Issues with the grid, specifically from a security and reliability perspective, as we come 2017 become more dependent on that grid to deliver energy to us, because we will not be generating 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, like we have been the past 100 years. The impact that the grid is going to have on us going forward is going to be huge until we get that second interconnection completed. And we're still about four years out on that. Certainly, rates are always first and foremost to us. We're maintaining those. We expect to be competitive for many years going forward. And we are looking at longer-term energy needs to take us into the next 100 years from an electric perspective. Ending a little bit on some more happy news, I put the slide up every year, and it's always still amazes me that we have the type of investment going on in our community. We have a little bit over $80 million invested, $400 million invested since 2004. See the impact it's had on the jobs. Wayne County was again named in the top micropolitan area in the country. This is the 10th year in a row born there, so kudos to the economic development group in there. There's a lot of good things going on in Wayne County, and Orville has and will always be one of them. And with that, I will conclude my report, and I'd be more than happy to answer any questions that you might have. I'll have this presentation will be on our website. If you guys would want hard copies of this or flash drives of this, let me know. I decided not to kill a bunch of trees with some handouts there, but if anybody would like to have copies of those, let me know. And again, I'll answer any questions that you may have. Seeing none, that would conclude my report, Mr. President.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yours are clean and mine are. I don't know about that. They're comfy. This guy's not just like for me? Well, that's no joke.
What's that?
Last one's on the mountain.
Are you serious?
It's beautiful. It's beautiful.
You tell me, see it.
So.
You see her shake her head. Where am I?
Thank you for your report. Next item of business, is there anyone have any comments for the good of the order this evening?
I would just like to thank Mr. Brediger for the comment that he made right at the end of his presentation, that he didn't print all those books for us and saved all those trees and all of that information that's available online to everyone. So that's a good step forward.
That is. Thank you. Anyone else? Oh, we need one more item. Yes, sir. Okay. Second, Mr. Wilson.
Bam.
Yes.
Hampshire.
Yes.
Asparis.
Yes.
Horstman.
Yes.
Morrison.
Yes.
Shoup.
Yes.
Wilson.
Yes.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for attending our meeting. We're now adjourned.
It didn't seem like that.
You flew through some
of
that.
You did.
That.
Yeah.
All right.
I scared myself.